Good morning. My voice may not be all the way back where I want it to be, so I brought a bottle of water just in case, but yeah, it starts to give out on me. I'm so glad, so thankful for the opportunity. Appreciate Terry and David and Alan for inviting me to come and speak this morning. I owe a lot of who I am as a man, as a minister today. And you can probably say the same thing about yourself too. I owe a lot of who I am today to people in my life who have been patient with me. Can you agree with that in your own life? Oh man, I think about first my parents. They put up, I won't go into any details, but I may give a little bit, but not a lot of details later. My parents put up with a lot when I was a child and in adolescence. When I was 18, I moved to Moberly, Missouri, where I went to Bible college. And shortly after I got to Moberly, I found Logan Street Church of Christ. And shortly after I started attending there, they asked me to preach every Sunday evening. I was 18 years old, and I thought I had something to say. Did you catch that? I thought I had something to say. I was 18 years old. There were people in this congregation that had been studying the Bible 2, 3, some even 4 times as long as I've been alive. I didn't have anything to say, and they were being patient with me. Because they saw my passion and desire to become a minister, they put up with me is what they did. I remember one guy was a professor of public speaking at the local college there, and he said, "I'm going to help you, Jeremy." He said, I'm going to do something you're not going to like. I'm going to record every sermon and you need to watch it before you come back the next week. What he was really saying is, I want you to see how annoying you are to us. But it helped a lot. And that was patience. Patience that helped me to grow. My children show patience with me. There's a running joke in my family that dad gets hangry real easily. And I know a lot in our congregation have heard me talk about my hanger, and sometimes my kids, in their patience, they won't say anything or get upset. They will just bring me a snack and say, "Hey, Dad, I think you need this." But of all of those who have been patient, you can probably guess my wife has shown the most patience. And daily, she has helped me through her patience to grow more than just picking up the dirty clothes and some of that kind of stuff. But she has had patience with me as I am continuing to grow and to become what God desires for me to become. But all of those, and I could go on, the congregation in Tarzan, the congregation at university, people in my life that show me patience each and every day, that put up with and help me to grow to what God desires me to be, all of that pales in comparison to the patience of God. The patience that God has shown to me, and I know to each and every one of us that's in this room, that God has been patient with us. And we see in 2 Peter 3:9, we know that Peter reminds us the Lord is not slow about His promise, as some count slowness, but is patient towards you. Why? Because He's not wishing for any to perish, but for all to come to repentance. Where I want to go today is I want to take us, and this probably isn't that surprising, but as we look in the Bible, this is going to be a prophet that's very familiar to us, probably somebody we've studied since BBS, since Sunday school as children, the prophet Jonah. Go ahead and turn over to the book of Jonah. I want to go here because I see that the patience of God is so clearly illustrated in this story that happens with the prophet Jonah. That we see clearly the patience of God in so many different attributes and aspects of that attribute of His patience throughout this story. And I want to look at 4 of these for us today, and hopefully that as we look at our experience with God's patience for us, that we also can appreciate and show and share God's patience with others. But first, we see as we look at this attribute of God's patience that God's patience has purpose. His patience has purpose. Back to 2 Peter 3:9, Peter tells us what the purpose of God's patience is. The purpose of His patience, if we read it again, but is patient towards you, not wishing for any to perish, but all to come to repentance. So Peter states here and reiterates what we're going to see in the book of Jonah, is that God's patience is with purpose to bring people to repentance and therefore salvation. So repentance and salvation is this purpose that God's patience is working for. It's not just an avoidance. That's not what God's patience is. His patience is not avoiding or overlooking sin and fault in people's lives. His patience is with purpose for people to turn away from their faults and turn to Him. And we're going to see in the book of Jonah, we don't have to go through all of this because I'm sure it's very familiar, the story. We know Jonah was a prophet. He was sent by God to go to Nineveh, the wicked city of Nineveh, the capital of Assyria, very wicked place. And he was told to go and to share the message with them to repent, to turn away from the things that they're doing. And Jonah doesn't like that. And we find out later, and we'll talk about that a little bit more later. Jonah doesn't want to go, so he flees. We know he gets on a boat to go to Tarshish. You've probably heard preachers talk about probably the furthest place on the map at the time. He was trying to get as far away from where God wanted him to go as he could. And so he flees, and as we see the story goes out, God sends a storm, and that storm is the punishment. That storm is trying to get Jonah's attention. This storm, in fact, in verse 8 of chapter 1, the sailors are going to mention a word that will come back into play a little bit later as we look through the aspects of God's patience. They said, why has this calamity come upon us? And he calls it a calamity. That's going to come back into play a little bit later. They call it a calamity. It's going to come back into play a little bit later. But as the story goes on, Jonah, they come to this decision. He tells them it's him and that he's the reason. They say, okay, what should we do? They try rowing back. It doesn't work. Jonah says, throw me overboard. And then here's where we see the patience of God. Patience with purpose. See the fish that we see in verse 17, it says, and now the Lord appointed a great fish to swallow Jonah. And Jonah was in the stomach of the fish 3 days and three nights. And as Jonah, as we look in verse, in chapter 2, Jonah's going to say this prayer. In his view of this experience of being in the fish, he probably would have said, this is part of my punishment. Because he says, as he describes that, seaweed was wrapped around my head. I was about to die. I'm thinking in that belly of the fish, Jonah is thinking, this is my punishment for disobeying God. But it wasn't his punishment. It was God's patience. See, this fish was part of the patience with what? Because what does patience do? God's patience has purpose. And what's that purpose? To bring Jonah, and it works its purpose, doesn't it? It brings Jonah to repentance because as he's there in the belly of the fish, he prays out this prayer, and there's true repentance because what is repentance? Repentance is turning in the direction, changing your mind that changes your action, however you want to describe that. The best way I think of it is you get on the interstate going the wrong direction, it's going to end in devastation unless you get turned around going the right direction. And so he turns around, and it's not an insincere repentance. It is true repentance because look what happens. And here we go about the patience of God as well. The patience of God is with purpose. That purpose is to get people to repent and to save them from their error in their sin. But God's patience does not overlook or excuse sin. God's patience doesn't forget and slide on what was originally commanded. Look, see, God, after he gets Jonah's attention, he doesn't just say, okay, you're good. What does he say? Look at chapter 3, verse 1. Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah again a second time. He doesn't say, never mind. He tells them again, here's where we know true repentance took place, right? Because what does it say? Second time saying, arise, go to Nineveh, the great city, and proclaim to it the proclamation which I'm going to tell you. So Jonah, here it is, verse 3, here's where repentance and obedience takes place, right? Here's where the purpose of God's patience comes to fruition. So Jonah arose and went to Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceedingly great city, a 3 days' walk. Jonah began to proclaim what God had told him to proclaim. That's where the obedience and repentance takes place, right? That's where we see that he truly turned away and God's patience was working that purpose in Jonah's life. We also note that God's patience was also working in others' lives. Not only does God show patience with purpose to Jonah, but he also shows patience with the same purpose for Nineveh. Look at Jonah chapter 3, verses 5 through 10. Verses 5 through 10 says, then the people of Nineveh believed in God, and they called a fast and put on sackcloth from the greatest to the least of them. And the word reached the king of Nineveh. He arose from his throne, laid aside his robe from him, covered himself with sackcloth, and sat on the ashes. He issued a proclamation, and it said in Nineveh, by the decree of the king and his nobles, do not let man, beast, herd, or flock taste a thing. Do not let them eat or drink water, but both man and beast must be covered with sackcloth, and let men call on God earnestly, that each may turn from his wicked way, from the violence which is in his hands. Who knows? God may turn and relent and withdraw his burning anger so that we will not perish. Verse 10. When God saw their deeds, that they turned from their wicked way, then God relented concerning the calamity which he had declared he would bring upon them, and he did not do it. See, God's purpose, God's patience was working with the same purpose to Nineveh, right? What was the purpose? To bring them to repentance. And as we look and we see that God's patience has purpose, the second thing that I want us to see in the book of Jonah is that God's patience is active. And it's active to work out that purpose. Because there's kind of this misconception, I think, that happens with patience. That patience, again, is not avoidance. Patience is not God overlooking sin or avoiding sin or allowing sin. It's God working actively with that purpose to bring people away from sin and into His presence. And as we look at this active, we look in Jonah. It was active in his patience, wasn't he? He sent a fish. The fish was him actively working his patience. You know what else was him actively working this purpose in his patience? Was Jonah. Jonah was his actively working his patience for Nineveh. I think about my parents who, when I was an adolescent, showed a lot of patience to me. Sometimes that patience was very active. And sometimes, just like Jonah, I don't think Jonah realized while he was in the belly of the fish that that was God being patient with him. I think he felt like that was God punishing him. No, the storm was the punishment. That was the calamity, right, that would have ended his life had not the fish been sent by God as an act of his patience, purposely working, allowing him time to repent. My parents, I remember one summer, I did not think this was them being very patient with me. I won't tell you the details as to why they did this, but they took away my pickup for 3 months. You can probably imagine or think of some of the reasons why they might do that, and some of them might be right. I won't share if you ask and try to figure that out. But at the time, I didn't think they were being patient with me. But as I look back in those 3 months that I walked all over town, and this was the early 2000s, so I still had my rollerblades from the 90s. I rollerbladed. And as I did that, I had a lot of time to think about the things that I had done, the choices I was making, what my parents were really wanting me to see was they could have just said, okay, you've made choices and you need to live with those consequences. No, they wanted me to see and realize and to come to understand, and because of their patience, because of their punishment in their patience, they wanted me to come to realize and make decisions that were going to affect my life positively, and they had because, why? Because of their active patience and love for me. We see the same display. We see the same display of active patience with Paul in his second letter to the Corinthians in 2 Corinthians chapter 7. Go ahead and turn over to chapter 7, verse 8 through 10. I love this because we know that Paul has already previously written a letter to the Corinthians, and he had to really come down on some things. There was some things going on in the church at Corinth that Paul knew he had to address. Why? Because he had the same purpose that God has. That he knew they needed to come to repentance. And so he writes, now he's writing about this in the second letter, and he writes this. He says, "For though I caused you sorrow by my letter, I do not regret it, though I did regret it." And Paul kind of writes of this struggle that he had in writing the initial, because we'll come back to this a little bit later. It was kind of difficult for him to write. He had some regrets in writing that letter. He said, "For I see that the letter caused you sorrow, though only for a while. I now rejoice not that you were made sorrowful, but that you were made sorrowful to the point of repentance. For you were made sorrowful according to the will of God, so that you might not suffer loss in anything through us. For the sorrow that is according to the will of God produces a repentance without regret, leading to salvation. But the sorrow of the world produces death." You see, Paul knew and understood the need to actively show God's patience. And I want you, here's kind of a side note here, just a side thing, is that sometimes in your life, God will use you in His actively pursuing and giving patience to someone else. That God will use you as He used Paul, that sometimes we will need to show people and we will be the patience of God used to push people into, to show them the need of repentance. But note something from Paul. That should never become something that's comfortable to us. Paul says, "I don't regret it now, but I did regret it," because it's hard to point out the faults in others. I worry sometimes that we may take pleasure in pointing out the faults in others. And see, if our purpose becomes to find pleasure in something, that's not the purpose that God has for us. What's God's purpose in His patience is to bring people to repentance. Why? Because of who He is, because He is just, because He is righteous, because His wrath is real. And He wants them to repent and be saved from that. And so if I take pleasure in something, telling people and pointing out their faults, I have to be careful that I, too, have the same purpose that God has. We see God's patience has purpose. It's active. Probably something that we should have went to first, but I want to continue through the book and the story. God's patience is motivated by love. God's patience is motivated by love. And I appreciate the lesson Jared shared yesterday on God is love. In looking at that idea of God defines love because He is love, we see that God's patience is motivated. The reason that God is patient, the reason that He has this purpose and actively works so that giving us time to come to repentance is because He loves us. And this comes about in a very interesting way in Jonah chapter 4, verse 2, because Jonah's upset. He's upset with God. After Nineveh repents, he goes on his little pity party. Brittany says I do those all the time, but he goes on his little pity party where he's out saying, "I knew that you would do this. I knew And in this prayer, look in verse 2, he says angrily to God, he says, he prayed to the Lord and said, "Please, Lord, was not this what I said while I was still in my own country? Therefore, in order to forestall, I fled to Tarshish, for I knew that you are a gracious and compassionate God, slow to anger and abundant in loving kindness, and one who relents concerning calamity." And in his anger at God showing patience to Nineveh, he fails to see. And do you see the irony here? He uses the same word, doesn't he? That word back in verse 8 that he says, "You relented calamity that they were deserving of." But he fails to see that, hey, the sailors pointed out, what's the reason for, what word did they use? This calamity that's coming upon us. That calamity that was meant for Jonah, that God relented through the belly of a fish. Why? Because of his patience. Because of that same loving kindness and compassion that Jonah knew he had. God's patience is motivated by love. And as I said earlier, God's patience being motivated by love does not negate other attributes, but works with him, with them. We see that it does not negate the fact that he is righteous, that he is just, that there is a judgment coming, as Brother Briscoe shared about this morning. There is a judgment coming, and he is righteous, and he is just, and he is fair, and the wicked will be punished. And we say, well, then how can he be patient? Doesn't that work against or contradict? No, it works with it because of the reality of his righteousness and his just and his fairness. He gives us the opportunity because of his love to repent and turn to him. Look at Romans chapter 2, verse 4 through 5. Romans chapter 2, verse 4 through 5 says, and this shows us that God's patience does not negate the other attributes he has. It says, "Or do you think lightly of the riches of his kindness and tolerance and patience, not knowing that the kindness of God leads you to repentance? But because of your stubbornness and unrepentant heart, you are storing up wrath for yourself in the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God." That patience is to bring us to repentance so that we don't endure the wrath and righteous judgment of God. And we see that this, he gives us that patience, that opportunity, because of his love. Luke 11:30 tells us, Jesus says, the Son of Man is a sign of Jonah. That Jesus coming to earth, laying down his life, dying and being buried and raised so that we can have that hope of everlasting life. That is a sign similar to Jonah. What was Jonah? Jonah was actively working the patience of God to do what? To purposely bring people to repentance. That's why Jesus came to this earth. That's why Jesus died, so that we, as an act of God's patience, we could have the opportunity to repent and turn to him and have our sins forgiven and remembered no more. God's patience is motivated by his love. The final point that I want us to see, that's four if you're keeping track. Are we keeping track of time? Ooh, yeah, we're getting close. God's patience not only has purpose, it's active. It's motivated by love. But God's patience continues to teach those who have been saved. See, Jonah was saved because he repented and turned to God and obeyed God. But Jonah still had some issues, didn't he? Jonah goes out on this pity party and he has these issues, and we think, okay, well, now the truth comes out. Now he tells God why, and so God's going to send another storm, but God doesn't do that, does he? He sends him a lesson. Because here's what God's patience does. God's patience continues to teach those he saved. And so as the story, he goes out and he's angry out on the mountain, and God sends this plant. It grows up and he loves the plant. It shades him from the sun. And then the next day God sends a worm. It destroys the plant. Jonah's back angry again and mad at God, saying, just kill me. I'm ready to die. All of this takes place. And the conversation between God and Jonah goes like this. Then God said to Jonah, verse 9, do you have good reason to be angry about the plant? And he said, I have good reason to be angry even to death. Then the Lord said, you had compassion on the plant for which you did not work, which you did not cause to grow, which came up overnight and perished overnight. Should I not have compassion on Nineveh, the great city in which there are more than 12,000 persons who do not know the difference between their right and left hand, as well as many animals? Turn the page. There's nothing else there. We don't know what happened with Jonah after that, do we? We don't know if this lesson took root, if he repented again. I don't know what happened with Jonah, but here's what I know, is I know that we see that God's patience continues to teach us, doesn't it? That I look around this room, and I'm going to apply, I want you to apply this lesson today, and I look around this room, and I'm pretty confident that everybody in here knows that God's patience has had purpose in your life, that because of God's patience, you have repented of sin and turned to Him. And that probably most everybody in here has been saved by the blood of Jesus Christ because of God's patience. And you realize that God's patience is purposeful and that God's patience has been active in your life. And you've probably seen that through events in your life, through people in your life, through things that have gone on where you've seen that God has shown His patience and given you that opportunity to repent. But here's the reality, that if you're like me, and you probably are, you still have issues. We still fall short of the glory of God, don't we? We still have room to grow and grow in big ways. And God is still working with us. Romans chapter 12, verse 2 says, do not be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. This is a continual process. This is not a one time you get baptized and you're done. It's because we have years and years of conditioning and worldliness within us, and we're not changing overnight. It's a process. And because of that, God continues to show His patience to us as we grow. So today, what I want to challenge you with, my intent was not to teach us anything new about God's patience. My intent today was to leave you, as we behold our God, to leave you asking this question. What is God's patience purposely, actively, lovingly trying to work and teach you this morning? Let's pray together. Dear God, as we look at your patience, everyone in this room knows that because of your patience, we have the opportunity to be your children. That because you loved us so much that you gave Jesus your Son as the sacrifice, as an act of your purposeful patience, that as we turned away from this world, as we repented of our sins, obeyed your gospel, that you give us that everlasting life. And we're so thankful for that patience. But we know, as we look around this room, myself the first to admit, I fall short. That I continue to struggle with the attitudes and mindsets and activities of this world. And I pray for your patience as I continue to grow. And we thank you so much for the patience of others you put in our life, and we know that you continue to show your patience. We also pray that you give us the ability that when you choose to use us to actively work your purpose through patience, that we will be patient people that can help others to come to repentance and come to salvation. We thank you so much for Jesus, and it's through His name we pray. Amen.